Shalom, shalom, everybody. Ping, ping, ping. Click that little plus sign, tap each face, and we'll get started in about 10 minutes. Ping, ping, ping. This is a teaching room, so this is not a conversation room. But no, to answer your question, it's not okay for you to come up because it's a quote-unquote new calendar year. Everybody continue to ping, ping, ping. Yeah, what's up? You hear, bro, this dude, Tamirio, funny, man. I like him, man. He's funny.
What he said?
He is like, it's a new year. Is it okay for me to, we said we're on a new calendar year. Is it okay for me to come to the stage now?
Hey, man, I think we should have grace on him. Not in this room, because this is a teaching room right now.
Right.
Well, you know, we could have some grace on him, man. He could come in some future rooms. What you think?
We got to run that by the people that gave him an assignment, man. I don't want to kind of overstep him.
Who gave it to him?
Corey. And shower bar.
God.
But yeah, everybody continue to ping, ping, ping. You know, moral of the story is back. And I've been gone for, you know, a few weeks to a month, transitioning slaveries, and then I caught the virus, the little coronavirus. So, you know, excited to be back. Been sitting on this one, this series for a little while. So, you know, ping, ping, ping as many people as you can into the room. He said, brothers can't deal with my sword.
Oh. Come on, Tamario, stop.
That's all we've done is deal with your little butter knife for about
he
a year.
He don't even got it. He got the plastic butter knife.
Right. You've cut zero Israelites. All right. So just, you know, chill out. We'll see what we can do. Moral of the story. Are you war ready? Right? Ping, ping, ping. Ping as many people as you can into the room. I'm sure, you know, they're closing down that room soon. Shalom, Elder.
Yeah, they were having some finishing little combos. Hey, shalom, your shop. Are y'all about to make
record? Yeah, about to make shop record. War time, man. War ready.
Khan. Going to make it a, I believe, a three-part series. Right, three-part series. This first part is going to be dealing with, you know, spiritual warfare. And, you know, I decided that I wanted to, you know, do this series predicated on events that we know are happening. You know, we make rooms, we talk about them, brothers prophesy. And now, you know, I want to make sure that we get the people ready. So, you know, in order of importance. So this part is going to be dealing with the spiritual warfare as far as preparing, you know, showing the people, you know, what spiritual warfare is, what it looks like in the scriptures. Then next week we'll get to, you know, the mental side of things, right? The mental warfare, you know, that you need to prepare for. And then lastly, it'll be a physical. All right, physical. So I wanted to be in that order. I wanted to kind of make sure that we are able to prepare the people and, you know, show them how to prepare decently and in order for this thing, you know, and so that we can all be on one accord with it. So it's definitely a lesson that I wanted to, you know, get into as things escalate on a, you know, on a physical level. So that's pretty much going to be the scope of the lesson. I sent Yahwasop the notes already. El Shapur, you can always jump in there as you see fit. So everybody continue to ping, ping, ping. And we'll get started here in a couple more minutes. Give it about 2 or 3 more minutes. If you can scribe, before I forget, if you can scribe, please hit the back channel. Hit the back channel if you can scribe and or record, right? Please hit the back channel if you can scribe and or record. We need both. Okay, hit me in the back channel. Hit the, I ain't even share this yet. Hit the back channel. Hit the God First Gang. Please let me know. Also, if we can have a reader, if we can have a reader or two, please raise your hand. Shalom, Jake. You able to read?
I can read.
Gone at the water. Jake is the best reader on Clubhouse. All praises. Got him up here. Let me see where else I can share this. Oh, I got to share it with the gang, of course. And like I said, we'll get started in another about 2 minutes. So continue to ping as many people as you can in the room. Again, it's very important with these moral of the stories that you're here on time, right? I know I moved it back because of the other room that we were in, but it's very important that you're here on time because we always lead off with defining what we're talking about and the lesson kind of builds on top of itself. But you know, we do have replays now. All praises to the Most High. So I guess we don't need a scribe, we don't need somebody to record it, but I would still like it scribed and recorded for those who aren't on Clubhouse, for their edification. So still, if you can do that, let me know. I think I want to compile all of these. I know I have a hard drive or email attachment, whatever the case may be, is one of the sisters have it, or has, you know, most of my moral of the stories, if not all of them. And I'm going to be putting them on YouTube at some point. So you know, when I start my YouTube channel, so be looking out for that. I'll have them all on there, Lord willing. So if you can still scribe and record, that'll still be appreciated. But the replays are on, so you know, even if we don't have it, we'll figure it out. See. So that's cool. All right, yeah, we got somebody to scribe. Yeah, that's what I mean by scribe, guys. Like, write down the scriptures. And or if you are able to write down the scriptures. I know there's a couple of sisters that did that and, you know, wrote down the key points that I made or that I make in the lesson. Then that's what I mean by scribe, you know, write down the scriptures and, you know, the key points or statements that I'm making associated with them or the brothers when they kind of chime in and give their breakdowns as well. So, yeah, it's been long enough now. I want to start off by giving, of course, all praise, honor, and glory to Yahweh Bashim Yahweh Shai. And it's always an honor and a privilege to, you know, be before the saints and to be able to edify. Shalom to all the elders on the stage, the water for being here, Jake for reading. I appreciate you guys very much for the assistance. And we're going to get right into this thing, right? So it says I'm having poor connection, so just let me know if I cannot be heard at any time. So, you know, the title is Are You War Ready? Right? Are You War Ready? Now, you know, we've created multiple rooms concerning the wars that are arising across the world, you know, Russia, Ukraine, China, Taiwan, you know, Kazakhstan. I believe most of the brothers and sisters in this room are well acquainted with what's going on, at least to some degree. If not, you're living under a rock and you're not watching and praying, and shame on you. So, you know, I just kind of wanted to lead with that. But we're pretty much aware of prophecy unfolding. You know, the brothers go into it all the time. Rooms get made about it. And, you know, there's a lot of information that's going on out there, you know. People get their bug out bags together, Salakia, and, you know, they talk about, you know, eating healthy and the vitamins, things of that nature. And yeah, we'll get into that, you know, down the line. But, you know, oftentimes we forget, you know, where the war starts in general, right? Where the war starts. So, you know, I definitely want to touch on the spiritual aspect of all of these wars that we're, heading into and hearing about. So, you know, first of all, you know, we always define what it is that we're talking about. So I'm going to do that now. War. War is a state of armed conflict between different nations or states or different groups within a nation or state, right? So that's what we're hearing about right now, right? On a physical level. We're hearing that in the news. We're hearing that in our chats. We're hearing about these wars and rumors of wars, right? Now, the synonym is what I want you guys to focus on, right? The synonyms include conflict, combat, struggle, you know, and confrontation, right? So the main one in that, though, is conflict. So when we're dealing with war, we're dealing with conflict. And I want to harp on that word conflict because that's what we see on a spiritual level, okay? So when you think about war for this lesson, I want you to kind of focus in on the word conflict. All right. So now with that being said, let's get, you know, the classic Matthew 24 and verse 6 and 7.
Con. It's the book of Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 6. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places.
Right. So we see all of these things occurring, taking place. Brothers go into him, you know, King Ben, he does the, you know, news and he talks about it pretty much every day. Him and his guys, you know, Elder Shower Par, they go into it. Kosher Breakfast Guy for his gang will go into these things and, you know, it's on your news. So we see these things happening, you know, being Israelites. I believe everybody in here in this room right now is an Israelite for the most part, you know of these things that are happening. Right. So we see prophecy unfolding. Now we have to talk about the getting prepared aspect. right? The aspect of actually preparing for this thing, right? Let's get Proverbs 4:7. Because we know these things, we have knowledge of them, right? But we have to get the understanding of how to deal with what it is that we are exactly seeing unfold. Let's get Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7.
It's the book of Proverbs, chapter 4. You said verse 7, correct? The book of Proverbs, chapter 4, and verse 7. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding.
With all thy getting, get what?
Understanding.
So with all the wisdom that you get, we must get an understanding, right? We must get an understanding of these wars and rumors of wars that we're seeing, right? That we're seeing unfold. We must get an understanding of how to prepare from the top down, right? Decently and in order, okay? Everything has to be done in order. You can't just, there's people in the world that they got their stockpiles. By the way, Jay, go to 1 Corinthians 14 and 40. They have their stockpiles. You know, they have their bug out bags. You know, we talk about those things. Like I said, we'll get to the physical preparedness aspect of this thing, you know, in the third week. But, you know, they don't understand what's going on spiritually, even those in the truth. They're not understanding the spiritual aspect of the war. Okay. And that's what we want to focus on today. We got to do everything decent and in order. So when you're preparing, we have to prepare decent and in order, right? Let's read that just for, you know, the sake of it.
God, this is the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order.
Right. It said all things, not just some things. Everything that you do, right? You want to prepare for war, right? You have to do it decently and in order, which means you have to know the order in order to prepare. Okay. So now the first understanding that we must have is that all internal and external comes from the quote unquote spirit world, right? Where the Most High dwells and where the angels dwell. That's where all conflict begins, right? A dimension that cannot be seen with the natural eye, right? By most, okay? We've seen the prophets, they were able to look into the third heavens. But, you know, by and large, you know, 99% of us, we cannot see into the spirit world. We can't see it. We don't know about it. You know, we know about space and things of that nature. So you have to understand that where all conflict begins, you can't physically see it, right? The source of conflict, you are not observing that. It's the first thing that we have to understand. Why does it happen this way? Because the Most High sees conflict and war slash war, I'll say, as balance, right? Let's get Exodus 15 and 3, and then you'll go to Proverbs 11 and 1, you know, the classics, and just kind of establishing a baseline and making this point before we actually get into the lesson, right? The Most High sees conflict slash war as balance, right? You have, you know, protagonists, you have antagonists. I was using that in a lesson I did on Facebook, right? You have the good guys and the bad guys, or whatever the case may be, however you want to see it. It creates balance, right? And why does he use conflict and war? Because he's a man of war, according to Exodus 15 and 3. Let's read that.
It's the book of Exodus chapter 15 and verse 3. The Lord is a man of war. Yahweh is his name.
Right. So we see that the Most High is a man of war. He likes war. You know, war is, I guess, you know, for lack of a better word, his hobby. He likes conflict, right? One side against another. Good versus evil. Light versus dark. That creates balance. Okay, let's read Proverbs 11 and 1.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 11, and verse 1. Mm-hmm. A false balance is abomination to Yahweh, but a just weight is his delight.
Right. So it has to be a balance. So like you, there has to be a balance of good and evil. There has to be a balance of wickedness and righteousness. There has to be a balance of true prophets and false prophets. There has to be a balance in all these things because the Lord is balanced and he's a man of war, which means that there's going to be conflict and there's going to be war from the beginning all the way until the end. So now let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Right. So before things play out on the earth, they play out in the spirit world. Let me say that again. Before anything plays out on the earth, it plays out in the spirit, right? It plays out where the Most High and the angels dwell, right? The third heaven, if you will. Okay, I don't want to get too deep off into it, but I just want to prove it with a few scriptures, right? That's a whole nother breakdown that I could get into, right? And this is a kind of a deep lesson, right? But, you know, deeper than what's normal for me. But it can get real deep. But I don't want to, you know, bug nobody out. But I just want to kind of prove that with Matthew 6, and let's start at verse 9.
It's the book of St. Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
On earth as what?
As it is in heaven.
Right. So his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. All right. So I just wanted to go there. Now let's get a couple classic examples. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 20. All right, I want to show you guys just with a couple of passages of scripture that the conflict or the war or the battle always plays out where the Most High and the angels dwell before it plays out on the earth. 1 Kings 22, verse 20.
This is the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22, and verse 20. Mm-hmm. And Yahweh said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead?
Right. This is the Most High having what you would call a council. Okay. You have a council going on. And he's asking who's going to go down to the earth and persuade Ahab to fall in battle. Right. Read on.
And one said on this manner, and another said on that manner.
Right. So now you have different angels, right? Different principalities. Right. We'll get to that. Saying, I'll do this, or this will be a good idea. We can go this way with it. We can go that way with it, right? They're deciding something in the heaven that's going to play out on the earth. Read on.
And there came, verse 21, and there came forth a spirit and stood before Yahweh and said, I will persuade him. And Yahweh has said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth and do so.
God. So somebody, one of the spirits, right, that he created for vengeance, has the best idea, right? So we see here a council, and everybody or all the spirits in the council, they're putting forth their ideas about how to make something play out on the earth. And a conflict, a war, a battle, right? Somebody dying. And the Most High said, okay, that's the best idea. You're going to go forth and prosper. All right? So we see that divine counsel. We see that conflict, okay, play out on the earth when you read the rest of the chapter. Let's go now to Job chapter 1 and let's read verse 6.
Job, call the chapter and verse again.
Job chapter 1, verse 6.
God, it's the book of Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before Yahweh, and Satan came also among them.
So we see a council here. We see the sons of God right? In this context, being the angels, okay? And we see Satan, who is representative of the adversary. That's how come it said, and Satan presented himself also, okay? Why does it say he presented himself also? Because he's adversarial to the righteous. That's his job. That's his creation. That's the purpose of his created being, is to be adversarial, all right, to the righteous, to try men's souls, okay? So let's read on.
And Yahweh said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan said, or answered Yahweh, and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and walking, and from walking up and down in it.
Right, and we'll see, Salaki, we'll see later in the lesson that that's what he does. That's his job, that's his assignment, right? To go to and fro in the earth, right? Seeking who he may devour, right? That's his whole assignment, is to go forth and try men, right? Read on.
And Yahweh said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, and perfect, and an upright man, one that feareth God and sheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house?
And so now we see a conflict, right? The Lord is saying, have you considered Job? Right? What is he saying about? What does that mean? Have you considered him? Is the Most High asking Satan, hey, Job's a good guy, isn't he? And Satan's like, yeah, he's a good. No, he's saying, have you considered trying Job? Have you considered bringing smoke to Job? Have you considered testing his faith? Right? Which is what we'll get to in the second part of the lesson. That's what's going on here. And then Satan's like, well, I mean, you did this for him. You did that for him. Now, Satan is being, you know, an adversary. Well, this is why he's like this. All right, read on.
Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance, and his substance has increased in the land.
Right. So Salakis, he's saying you giving this whole, first of all, you giving this whole good report. Of course, it's going to be hard for me to tempt him. You gave him everything. Now, I can't just, you know, I got to do something drastic to him if you really want me to try him, because the man got everything. He got a family, you know, he got, you know, land, he got money, right? You've protected him. Okay. So, you know, you giving, like, what kind of task are you trying to give me here? Right, read on.
But put forth thine hand now, and all, and touch all that he hath, he will curse you to thy face.
But I know how to get him, right? If you take all of that stuff away from him, right, you really want me to try him? Let me take all of this. Give me the authority, okay, to take all of what he has from him, and then he'll curse you. Right. So this is, they're discussing something that's going to play out in the earth. I just want to make that very clear. That's the purpose of why I'm going to these scriptures, to demonstrate that they are discussing something in detail. Do X, Y, and Z. Right. And it's going to play out in the earth. They're discussing Job's life. And that's what's happening to you as an individual. OK, Satan is discussing your life, and the angels on that side is discussing your life to the Most High, right? Saying, challenge them this way. Do this to them. Do that to them. Let's try this. What about that? That's what's happening in each and every one of your lives as well. Your conflicts that you face every day, it happened, or it was orchestrated, if you will, in the heavens previously. That's it on that. Okay, let's go to Jude 9, right? So there's also Jude verse 9. There's also conflict in the spirit world, right? Between the orders and the principalities that the Most High has set in place. Okay, so, you know, when you hear about wars and things of that nature, right? I want to use the word conflict because it's still in order, but there is conflicts and disputes, right, that you can't see, that go on in the heavens. Let's read Jude verse 9.
It's the book of Jude, verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bringing against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee.
Right. So they were contending for the body. Go to Deuteronomy 34 and 5. They were contending for the body of Moses, the angels, right? Michael and Satan, they're contending. And the Lord gave the order, the Most High said, no, this is what's going to happen in this situation. But there was still a contention there, right? Satan wanted the body of Moses, and Michael wanted the body of Moses. And the Lord resolved the conflict, you know, by, you know, he gave his word. This is what is going to happen. Michael, you get it, right? The Lord rebuke you. So there's conflict there. There's still contention in the heavens. I want to demonstrate that. Let's read Deuteronomy 34 and 5. See what this is talking about.
God, it's the book of Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 5. Mm-hmm. So Moses, the servant of Yahweh, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher until this day.
But what?
But no man knoweth of his sepulcher until this day.
So now Michael wanted the body, right, so that he could hide it because he didn't want anybody to find it. All right. So, you know, Satan might have wanted it to use it for, you know, the children of Israel to idolize Moses or try to, you know, do some enchantment with Moses or whatever the case may be. The scriptures doesn't say, but we do see that his body wasn't found, but and it was contended over, right, in the spirit world. All right, so I just want to bring those points out. Let's get another example of that. Let's get Daniel chapter 10 and verse 10. I'm gonna show you guys another conflict that happened in the heavens, right, that we weren't able to physically observe. Let's read Daniel chapter 10, and let's start at verse 10.
God, it's the book of Daniel, chapter 10, and verse 10. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees, and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand these words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee I am now sent. And when he hath spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling.
Right. Why is he trembling? Because this is an angel speaking to Daniel, right? Coming to reveal to him the prophecies that we have today. All right. Read on.
And then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set in thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy
word. And I am what?
And I am come for thy word.
Right. So now what you got to understand when you read back up in the chapter, right, he's saying he heard Daniel's words right when he spoke them. They came up because Daniel was righteous. Okay. But guess what? Daniel did a whole fast, right? This is where we get the Daniel fast. But the angel is letting him know, look, we heard your words immediately. Okay. But what happened? Why didn't he get the answer immediately? Let's read on.
Con, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days.
For how long?
1 and 20 days.
Read on.
But, lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia.
Right. So can a mortal man, you know, fend off or withstand an angel. No, right? There's another principality that's over that area that said, no, you can't come here, right? Because there's order in the heavens. There's a conflict there because there's an angel, or we'll call it an angel, or a principality that's over Persia. That's the prince of Persia, right? A spiritual being that the Lord has placed there, placed over that area. And he withstood the angel, right? 21 days, right? Because that's a conflict. You can't, this is my zone. This is my area. I am over this people, okay? And I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to give the word of the Lord to the servant. I'm withstanding you. No, you can't pass. You can't enter, okay? And then the archangel Michael, who we just read about in another passage, has to come and assist him, right? That's a conflict. That's a spiritual conflict to get Daniel the word of the Lord, okay? So now let's prove that. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4:19. Deuteronomy 4:19.
It's the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, and verse 19. Unless thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun, and the moon, and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and to serve them, which Yahweh thy power hath divided unto all the nations under the whole heaven?
Right, so now we got to break this verse down. Right, that word host there, okay, so this is the Lord warning us to not worship the other principalities, right, the other things that he has set up, okay? So now when you look at that word host there, that's the word, that's Strong's 6635, and it means army, war, or warfare, right? So that these are spiritual entities, if you will, that the Lord has put in place over the other nations. All right. And that word divided there, right, when you actually look into it, it's more like imparted. It's the word, or it's the Strong's 2505, which means divide or apportion, right? The accusative sense is of gods, right? So the Lord is saying there, he has placed other powers over the other nations that they are supposed to, quote unquote, worship. Now, they don't understand, you know, those concepts. So, you know, they'll assign names and, you know, they'll assign, they'll make idols and, you know, of clay and things of that nature, because they're trying to they're trying to make sense of this principality that's set up over them. Okay. So let's go to Sirach 17:17. So every nation of people has a entity that is assigned over them. I'll use that word. Okay, every nation has, you know, an angel. I'll use that word too. So it's just words that we understand that is assigned over them. Okay, and the issue with our people was that at the time, you know, and even now, the children of Israel were going to that deity, right? They were worshiping that entity and not the Most High Power, whose portion is their own. Let's read 17:17. Sirach 17:17.
This is the book of Sirach, or Ecclesiasticus, chapter 17, and verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
For in the division of the nations of the whole earth, he set a ruler over every people.
Right. But that's how come, Salaki, that's how come when we just read in Daniel, he said the prince of Persia, right? That's the principality over that area, right? As we'll get to, I think, that as well in the lesson, right? Well, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against, you know, principalities, right? And spiritual wickedness in high places, roughly paraphrasing. So just kind of wanted to link those up. Okay, let's finish that verse.
But Israel is the Lord's portion.
Right. And so that's what we have to understand. We have the Most High God as our portion, who's causing and setting up things in the earth via his angels, right, in the spirit world. They have dominion, they have control. Everything plays out there, and then we see the manifestation of it here. Okay, I'll use that word. Let's go to, just to get a little bit of clarity on that as well, let's get to 1 Kings 11 and 33. 1 Kings 11, verse 33.
It's the book of 1 Kings, chapter 11, and verse 33. Because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David his father.
Come on. So we see here that these names of these other deities that, you know, the other nations gave them, you know, predicated upon what they felt about them and things of that nature. But they're actually just principalities that the Lord just put over them to govern them. Okay, so we see that there is the point is that there is conflicts in the heavens, you know, between the principalities of the other nations and the children of Israel's principalities, which is, you know, the Archangel Michael, Uriel, the seven holy angels, so forth and so on. I want to demonstrate that. So every conflict and every war, okay, that you can think of begins in the heavens, okay? So now, go to Revelations 12 and 9, right? Because the prophets, you know, the prophets, they could hear, right? Remember I said about 99% of them, like that 1% is the prophets that can actually hear and see these councils and conflicts, right, in the spirit. All right, yeah, that's what the prophets did. They saw these councils, they saw these wars happening in the spirit. And that's how we get books like Revelations, right? Which means the revealing. That's how we get, you know, books like Daniel, right? That's how we get, you know, all the prophets, so forth and so on, because they actually saw these things play out, right, in the spirit world, meaning it happened before. I'll leave it at that. Let's go to Revelations 12 and 9.
It's the book of Revelation, chapter 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven.
And he what? Read that first part again.
And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night.
Right. So now we got, I'm not going to break that whole thing down, but the point is that within the scope of this lesson, the prophets heard and seen those things in the spirit world, right? Because they're writing them down for us to understand. And now we break them down today and say, this is what's going to happen on the earth, right? This is how we're going to be saved. We're going to defeat them in battle and X, Y, and Z. This understanding that we have comes from men who've seen into the third heavens and seen that conflict and that struggle play out. Okay, so now the next point, which is the main point of the lesson, is that we must understand that the purpose of the adversary in the heavens is to break our faith, right? That is the spiritual war that's being waged against you as an individual, how this applies to you. The purpose of Satan is to break, go to Salaki, go to Luke 22, actually Salaki, go to Hebrews 11 and 1 first. Is to break your faith, okay? That's the purpose of the spiritual war. If they can get you to stop believing at any point, if they can, if the enemy can get you to stop, you know, accepting this truth, stop walking in the correct way, you know, begin to doubt, you know, or, you know, I hear people say, you know, I've done so much wrong, I can't, you know, go back to the Father. That's the war that's spiritually being waged upon you from the heavens. All right, let's read Hebrews 11 and 1.
It's the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Right, the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for, right? Just like you can't see the councils and the conflicts, Salakia, that happen in the spirit world, right? Faith is the same abstract concept. It's something that you can't see, but you believe. Okay, let's read verse 6.
This is the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Right. So without faith, you can't please the Most High. That's why the spiritual war that's being waged is to break your faith, to disconnect you from the Most High. If they can break your faith, go to now Luke 22 and 31. If they can break your faith, right, they being, you know, the adversary, Satan, right, and his, you know, angels on the left-hand side in the spirit world, if they can break your faith, then guess what? You don't receive salvation. Guess what? You cut off. Because if you don't have faith, you're not going to keep the commandments, right? It's hand in hand. If you don't believe anymore, then there's no point in you keeping the Sabbath day. If you don't believe, then you're not going to keep the diet. Because, man, you know, I don't know about this Bible anymore, right? I keep hearing this, or, you know, they keep saying this is going to happen. They keep saying the Lord is going to come back, and he ain't came back. That's the spiritual war that's being waged on you. Or when you go into these different rooms and you hear these different breakdowns, right, that's causing you to err, and you start believing them. And then you get off into the book of Jasher. Then you get off into the book of Enoch, right? That's the spiritual war that's being waged on you in that way to break your faith, right? Or you can hear these different breakdowns from these other guys about concepts that's contrary to the gospel, right? Concepts that's contrary to the words of Christ. That's spiritual warfare being waged on you for the purpose of breaking your faith. And guess what? It's the accuser saying, do this to him. Do that to him. Lord, let me get him like this. Let me get him like that. That's what we got to understand is going on. Let's read Luke chapter 22 and 31.
It's the book of Luke, chapter 22 and verse 31. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy
faith. Now, this is Yahushua speaking to Peter, right? So number one, what we got to understand is that, so like you start a verse above. I want you to start a verse above.
Khan, this is the book of Luke, chapter 22 and verse 31.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that mm-hmm. he may sift you as wheat.
Now, how did he know that? How did he know that Satan has desired to sift him as wheat? Because Yahushua could see into the spirit world, right? Yahushua seeing Satan accusing Peter, right? Accusing Peter to the Most High, saying, Lord, let me do this to him. Let me do that to him. Right? Yahushua, he could see that. And so he said, because that's what Satan does. That's his assignment. To get you to stop believing. Okay? That's how come he goes to and fro the earth. That's his purpose. Going and seeking who he may devour. Right? So he said, but I have prayed for you. Right? So Yahushua used his power that he has, right, to make sure that that didn't happen. So how come he's the rock of the church? Okay. Let's read on.
But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen mm-hmm. thy brethren.
Right. So Peter wasn't all the way there yet, you know, so to speak. You know, Peter wasn't all the way there, but he had faith, though. That's how can we understand that this was about breaking Peter's faith. He said, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, right? Let's go to 2 Esdras chapter 7 and verse 57, because that's the real fight. That's the spiritual fight to get you to stop believing in this truth. to get you to believe something else in these last days. There's going to be a lot of people that, you know, was in this truth and they was in it for 4 and 5 years. And then when all hell break loose, right, when struggles come upon them personally, then they're going to fall out because their faith got broken in the spirit world. Before anything happens with guns and, you know, lockdowns and martial law and things of that nature, right? Things are going to begin to happen individually to the children of Israel because he's trying his children, right? He's putting them through that furnace, that heat, right? And going to have a lot of people that fall out this thing, right? You have a lot of people that come into this thing in the last minute. So you have to recognize as an individual that your faith on the spiritual warfare level is going to be what is attacked. All right, so let's read that. 2 Edges chapter 7, verse 57 and 58.
This is the book of 2 Ezra. Call the scripture again? You said 2 Ezra?
Chapter 7, verse 57 and 58.
It's the book of 2 Ezra chapter 7, verse 57. And then answered he me and said, "This is the condition of the battle. Which man that is born upon the earth shall fight? That if he be overcome, he shall suffer as thou hast said. But if he get the victory, he shall receive the thing that I say."
Right. So that's the condition of the battle. That's the real battle. That's the first thing. Go to 1 Timothy 6 and 12. That's the first thing when we're getting war ready that we have to understand. That it's about the enemy attacking your faith in the spirit first. That's the first battle that you need to be prepared for. Before you get water stored and before you get a bug out bag and you start, you know, getting your vitamins all together and, you know, your food and all of that kind of stuff. And you start mentally preparing for, you know, moving around and what state I'm going to go to if this happened, right? You might not even need to worry. You know, you might not even get to those stages because, you know, you might fall out this thing, right? Satan might sift you out like he tried to do Peter, okay? So that's what you got to first understand. You have to get your faith shored up. You have to understand that there's going to be things that happen to you, that there's going to be positions that you put in that you just can't explain. You don't know why this happened to you. This is the worst thing that ever happened to me. I'm in this truth. How did this happen, right? Your faith is going to be attacked, right? Doctrines is going to be presented to you. All types of things for the purpose of breaking your faith. That's the first war. That's the first battle that you need to fight and win. And win again, day in and day out. No matter what you do on a mental level, no matter what you prepare for on a physical level, you need to be prepared for your faith to be challenged. That's the fight that you have to win. Let's get 1 Timothy 6 and 12.
This is the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith.
Fight the good fight of what?
Faith.
Right. So it's a fight. Your faith is going to be fought against day in and day out. You have to fight that good fight, right? Read on.
Lay hold on eternal life.
Letting you know what? That is how you ultimately attain eternal life, right? That fight that you win or lose is what is going to be the difference between you attaining eternal life and being destroyed, right? Read on. Is that the end of that script?
Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses.
Right. And that profession is not just with words, it's with actions, right? You fight that good fight every day with your actions, okay? Staying in your scripts, right? Having hope through the comfort of the scriptures, okay? Being in these rooms, staying sound in the doctrine, continuing to keep the commandments because you know you have faith that that's the right thing to do. Right. That's how faith and works work hand in hand. You're not going to keep the Sabbath day if you don't think that there's a reason that you're doing it or you don't think it's important. Right. Or you lose faith that that's what, you know, actually matters. You got a lot of people. Hey, I've talked to people that's fell out this thing because they don't think you need to keep the Sabbath day. their faith got broken. That spirit got them out of here in the war, right? Chopped them down. I don't need to keep this anymore because I don't believe that it's necessary, right? That's because their faith got chopped in half, all right? And it was over with. They're done now, you know, lest they repent, of course. But, you know, we know what the scriptures say about that. It's hard to come back once you knew the truth and you fell out this thing, right? Satan got them. All right, and he's coming for you as well. He's coming for your faith. So when you're hearing about all these wars and things of that nature, and you understand things is about to get turned up, you need to understand that the war on your faith is going to get turned up too. It's going to be propaganda out here. They're going to make us, you know, seem like we terrorists and all this kind of stuff. And a lot of people are going to fall out this thing. A lot of people are going to cut off their beards, take off their fringes, all right, because of what's going on. So we got to understand that your faith is being attacked first. All right, let's get to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, and then we'll close out with that.
This is the book of Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Right. What's the wiles of the devil? The temptations, right? What's the wiles of the devil? The challenges that he gave Job, okay? Him trying to sift you out this thing. You got to put on the whole armor. Let's read on.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities.
Against what?
Against powers. Against principalities.
Right, against principalities, like that example that we seen in Daniel. Right. We wrestle against those things. He's letting you know it's a spiritual fight. First, that's what it really is talking about. Right. This is a spiritual battle for your faith. Right. Read.
Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world.
Right. Those are the rulers that the Lord has set above, set over all the other nations. Right. Those is what he's talking about. Read on.
Against spiritual wickedness, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Right. Read on.
Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day.
Having right. done withstand all when?
To stand.
What's like in the withstand evil when? Day. This is the evil in day. The evil day. Right. Right. This is the evil day that we're in, when we're hearing about all these wars and rumors of wars and men's heart waxing cold and crime going up and inflation and plagues, and so that you can withstand right now. You got to put on a spiritual armor right now. Read on.
That ye may able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness.
So we know that that's the law, statutes, and commandments, the truth and righteousness. Read on.
And your feet showed with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Right, knowing the gospel, being secure and locked down in the understanding of the gospel, right, what it is, who it's for, right, these are doctrinal points that we teach. Keeping the law, statutes, and commandments. Understanding what the gospel is, right? It's for the Israelites. They're going to get restored, right? Read on.
Above all, taking the shield of faith.
We've got to read that again. It said, Salaki, it said what?
Above all, taking the shield of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Wherewith ye shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked.
Right. So it said above all. That's what you need. The shield of faith. Right. Your faith is your shield against what? Against the fiery darts. Those darts is aiming at you. Right. From the wicked. Who's the wicked? Right. The adversary. Satan. He's throwing those darts. You need to have that shield of faith. It said above all. Right, that's the thing that you need in the war. You need a shield, because the enemy, you know what I'm saying, they got their weapons as well. They slinging them and they throwing darts at you and hitting you with swords and things of that nature. That's symbolic of all the different doctrines that you experience, all the traumatic experiences that you go through randomly, you don't know why. Those are the fiery darts coming to try your faith. All right, read on.
Con, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Right, you got to put on that salvation, understanding what salvation is, who it's for, right? And the sword of the Spirit, we understand that this is talking about the actual scriptures. That's how you got to arm yourself. That's the first preparation that you need to take. You need to be shored up in your faith, shored up in this truth, shored up in the doctrine, understanding that you're going to be tried and tested, because that's what the adversary's job is to do, to sift you out this truth. That's the first preparation and getting war ready. With that, I give all praise, honor, and glory to Yahabashim Yahushai. You know, I open up the floor to the elders and Brother Jake if they want to add anything or make any comments. The water.
Oh, man, beautiful lesson, Adewan. You hit every point. Really good lesson.
Kind of all praises to the Most High, the water.
Yeah, all praises to the Most High, man. People got to gird up their loins, man. You know what I'm saying? And they really put on that whole armor, you know what I'm saying, of the Most High God. Y'all know what Paul was quoting from?
Salakia, and from Ephesians?
God.
It's not registering right now. You can enlighten me. I'll say no. Adewan, you want to tell us?
God, because, you know, a lot of people don't realize what Paul, you know, he get his stuff from the quote-unquote Old Testament. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't realize that. Let me get it right quick. So like, yeah.
Was it Isaiah?
Yeah, it's Isaiah. I just got to find where in Isaiah. I think Isaiah 59.
Yeah. I think I remember what you're talking about now. I just couldn't escape.
59:17. You know,
it is. Yeah, that's a good one. I've actually heard that before. All right, I got it. This is the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. And I'll start at verse 16. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with a zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. And to the islands he will pay recompense.
This is how, you know, the ancient, you know what I'm saying, prophets, even before Paul, used to gird up for what? War, right? Vengeance, recompense, right? So, you know, Paul, he gave a more extensive breakdown, and you know, he used the wisdom that the Most High God blessed him with. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, you know, he got his idea from the prophets of old, man. This ongoing battle that we are in right now is from the prophets of old, you know, even to this very day. There's nothing new underneath the sun. So yeah, everybody gird up, man, you know? Do it like your forefathers. Gird up in the spirit.
Con, all praises to the Most High at the water for that. And yeah, in the 16:11, when I went to it, yep, it got Ephesians 6:17. Next to that verse, and also 1 Thessalonians 5:8 as well. So, you know, that was definitely a beautiful point. So with that, now, you know, I want to open up the floor to the audience. If they have any questions or comments concerning the lesson, now is the time where you can raise your hand. I think I got hand raising on. Got about 80 people in here. Don't be shy. And we got the replays on, so I guess nobody needs the precepts. I like that feature. I really do. I think we got somebody scribing it. So unless you have any comments or questions, you know, there shouldn't be questions about those things. You can raise your hand if you have any questions about the breakdown or any comments that you want to make. Bring this brother up. Trying to bring him up. Oh, yeah, he's on now. Shalom, I'm up.
Shalom, y'all. Vashim, Mashak, y'all, Shabrakata.
Vashim, y'all, Shabrakata.
Hey, real quick, Doc. I think this was a really good lesson. The most important scripture to me that stood out from this lesson is Ephesians chapter 6, when we started at verse 10. In order for us to go to war, we have to have our war clothes on, right? We got to have our mind sharp. We got to have our heart sharp. We got to have our feet sharp, right? If we go to war with no armor on, man, you dead, man. The most, when the enemy hits you and he recognize you don't have your helmet on, he can hit you right in the head and you dead, right? So in order for us to be ready for war, we got to have the armor on first, and we got to have the armor on daily. You cannot walk out this house knowing that we in a spiritual war and not have your armor on, man. You as good as dead, man. We got to rehearse the righteous acts every day. That is our war clothes. If you don't have them on, you as good as dead. So I appreciate that you brought out that scripture, because the moment that I came into the room and I saw the theme, I immediately went to this scripture. And I think it was very important. I think it was the most important scripture that you brought out, because in order for you to go to war, you have to have your war clothes on at all times.
Khan, the Water King. Yeah, so yeah, this I really wanted to drive home, you know, the preparedness of it, you know, because we dealing with you know, these wars that we hear about and prophecy unfolding. You know, like I said before, brothers and sisters is getting their bug out bags, and, you know, getting their vitamins, and, you know, guns and whatever the case may be. But, you know, we got to prepare, you know, in order, you know. Brothers and sisters might not need those things because you fell out this truth. And those things don't even matter anymore. So we got to, you know, I wanted to show that, like I said, that conflict and all the wars begin in the spirit world. That's where it starts, just to get our minds, you know, with that understanding. So when you see trials and tribulations and things of that nature come your way, it came from the spirit world first, right? There's councils in the heavens about, you know, your life, you know, and how it's going to be affected. Go do this to them. Go do that to them. So I wanted to kind of, you know, prepare our people, or to get them to see that, you know, all these things begin there. And so you have to prepare spiritually before you worry about preparing mentally or physically, which that'll be part two next week, dealing with the mental side of it. So the Water for that King.
Hey, all praises, man. And another thought, you know, the scripture tells us to be ready for temptation, right? I've never seen any army prepare for war and there's no boot camp. These laws, statutes, and commandments are our boot camp. If we're not doing these things, how do we expect to be ready for war? You can't just go to war and not prepare. If anybody went to war and you didn't prepare and think you can go aimlessly and just defeat the enemy, you are sadly mistaken. If you're not keeping these laws, statutes, and commandments, you are not ready for war.
Coming up for sure. So, we'll allow for any more questions or comments, you know, for another minute or so. You want to raise your hand, come onto the stage. The floor is open. Guess though nobody got no questions, so or comments. So with that, give all praise, honor, and glory to Yahweh Hashem Yahushua. Again, the water brother Yahweh, Elder Shawapar, and our brother Jake for the reading. Really appreciate it. And Shalom. Yahweh Hashem Yahushua, Rakatham. Yahweh Hashem Yahushua.